Thank you so much. First of all, let me thank our organizers for putting together this event. It's a really important initiative, and I hope we can build on it. And talking about sovereign rights, two different themes to life and death in Kashmir. In 1991, historian Alistair Lamb wrote that at the moment of writing, it has become apparent that the Indian Republic is faced with, at least in that part of the vale of Kashmir which it occupies, what can only be described as a terminal colonial situation. End of quote. A terminal colonial situation that has lasted for 25 years, that has brought suffering and violence on an unimaginable scale. While the violence has been seared into Kashmiri memory, it is forgotten or deliberately obscured in India and the rest of the world. Now, finally, these stories are being told and shared with new audiences, in great part due to the new social media. Evidence of massive human rights abuses and forces against the civilian population is being documented in credible and compelling detail. This documentation provides a picture of disappearances, extrajudicial killings, torture, and rape carried out by the Indian armed forces with impunity. In their scope and nature, these abuses meet the legal definition of crimes against humanity. Against this continuing chronicle of military terror, the Kashmiri Movement for Justice and Rights opposes a profoundly moral voice. Grief and love give the families the courage to confront and challenge this regime. Their vulnerability, juxtaposed to the power of the army, casts into sharp focus its immorality and illegitimacy. Their courage in challenging the power, violence, and secrecy of that most paradoxical of all systems of terror, a military regime in the service of a country that bills itself as the world's largest democracy, reveals two very different claims to life and death, to power and sovereignty. The Association of Parents of Disappeared Persons, APDP, has brought together hundreds of victims' families united by a quest for truth and justice. Founded by Parveena Ahimbar, one of the mothers of the disappeared, it has become a rallying point for victims and survivors. Its mandate has expanded to cover crimes like extrajudicial killings, torture, and rape. Guided by the concerns of the families, the APTP has pioneered the legal strategies which offer the best chance of ending these abuses and of bringing the abusers to justice. Meticulous documentation of the disappearances and other abuses in collaboration with the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights in Geneva has built a detailed and credible record. It provides documentary evidence that may serve in any future tribunals to record and account for crimes against humanity in Kashmir. Such accountability is essential to any kind of peace settlement. Given the scale of the human rights violations and the persistence of impunity, the only possibility for justice is through international criminal prosecutions. Such prosecutions would be an essential part of a negotiated and peaceful settlement of the Kashmiri conflict. The Kashmiri emphasis on discovering the truth and justice for these crimes is consistent with international human rights law. There is no statute of limitations in international law on war crimes or crimes against humanity. Over the past two decades, the concerns of victims of massive human rights abuses in situations of war, internal conflict, and political repression have become the driving force behind the creation of international human rights mechanisms. International criminal prosecutions have evolved to counter the problem of the impunity provided to abusers by national governments. International criminal prosecutions, truth commissions, reparations, institutional reform, efforts to propose reconciliation and preserve collective memory have all affirmed that peace and justice are inseparable. These criminal prosecutions and tribunals, addressing crimes which date back as far as 30 or 40 years, are built upon the principles of universal jurisdiction. Mary Robinson, who is the former president of the Irish Republic and who has also served as the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights, defines universal jurisdiction as based on the notion that certain crimes are so harmful to international interests that states are entitled and even obliged to bring proceedings against the perpetrator, regardless of the location of the crime or the nationality of the perpetrator or the victim. Human rights abuses widely considered to be subject to universal jurisdiction include genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and torture. International law presents at least an ideal of justice that cannot be subverted by impunity and claims of national sovereignty. It has come to recognize that victims of grave violations of human rights and society at large have the following rights: a right of the victim to see justice done, a right to know the truth, an entitlement to compensation and also to non-monetary forms of restitution, and a right to new, reorganized and accountable institutions. It must be recognized that in Kashmir, bringing human rights abusers to justice is an essential part of the peacemaking process itself. In post-conflict societies from Guatemala to Cambodia, abusers have been brought to justice with the active help and intervention of the international human rights community. Human rights advocates, the UN human rights system, researchers and international media, in collaboration with victims, survivors, local NGOs and courts, have created forums and tribunals for justice and accountability. Kashmir remains the unfortunate exception. Despite the silence and indifference of the international community and the active obstruction of justice by the Indian government, courts and army, Kashmiri initiatives for justice by groups like the APDP are the foundation on which international criminal prosecutions can be built. The State Human Rights Commission in Kashmir has investigated thousands of unmarked mass graves in border districts. The forgotten massacres of the early 1990s are being reinvestigated and new prosecutions opened in Kashmiri courts. Anyone who has lived or worked closely with the families of the APDP knows that they will continue to struggle for justice quite literally until the last day of their lives, with or without any outside support, despite all threats and dangers. To my mind, this is one of the great moral decisions of our time. If we claim to stand for justice, rights and dignity anywhere in the world, we must support the Kashmiri struggle or our stated principles are worthless. Finally, must we remember that the Kashmiri movement for justice in fact dates back to the struggle for popular sovereignty against the Dogra regime, which even by the standards of its time was remarkably suppressive and tyrannical. The social agenda of the Kashmiri movement found a brief expression in the period from 1947 to 1953, when the government of Sheikh Abdullah pushed through a series of reforms, providing lands to the tiller, debt relief, and primary education, which are unique in the history of South Asia. The Kashmiri Tehreek is rooted in an idea of social justice, not in Islamic fanaticism or Pakistani instigation, as claimed by the Indian discourse. Despite its abysmal record on human rights over the decades, the Indian state has been remarkably exempt from international criticism and accountability for the crimes committed by its forces in the Northeast, Punjab, Kashmir, and now the tribal belt of central India. Contrary to the fond belief of the Indian establishment, this is not a cause for self-congratulation. The dangers of unchecked militarization and abuse in the borderlands have finally come home to the heartlands of central India. Violence against those that the Indian state claims are its citizens has become an accepted manner of governance. The Indian establishment, media, political and academic, has failed miserably in its task of reporting the reality of these conflicts. Nationalism and militarization are poor substitutes for strategic and political thinking, and they contribute nothing to the creation of a moral and sustainable international order. Accountability and justice is the basis for a lasting peace are as necessary for India as for Kashmir, though the Indian establishment refuses to recognize this and may indeed be incapable of recognizing this. I don't really have much of a conclusion. The struggle over life and death, over who has the power to control and define these, and on what terms, is far from over. I think our meeting here today is part of that story. Thank you. Thank you for this.
Thanks, Shishinke.